Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I was just having a pretty loud, shouty argument with Grant Paulson over many desks and chairs during the break. He was incredulous to find out that it takes me an hour and 40 minutes pretty much every day, and it took me 2 hours and 10 minutes the other night to get home. When leaving here at, you know, roughly between 4:45 and 5, sometimes 5:10.
Is he, are you saying an hour from the time you leave the building or the hours at the, because you know you stay back?
I'm talking about like from the time I get in my car.
God.
I mean, it took me 2 hours and 10 minutes the other night to get 37 miles.
I understand why you're so cranky sometimes. Like that's crankiness worthy. It takes me like far less, probably like 30 minutes if I'm coming from home. No, 10 minutes from my other job,
yeah,
10, 15
that's
minutes.
Tough. Must yeah. be tough being a man.
And I'm already like, I'm cranky from that.
I know you are, because I have to deal with your wrath.
Whatever.
All right, let's get to somebody who's never cranky. My longtime amigo. He is the host of Cofield & Company in Las Vegas on ESPN Radio Las Vegas, and as well, UNLV Radio Football Network. Mr. Steve Cofield is with us to get a look-see at the Las Vegas Raiders. Hello, Mr. Cofield. How are you? Nice to talk to you again.
I'm good. I'm so I was impressed by your lying there. I'm cranky all the time. And by the way, I never have to drive more than 24 minutes to get home from my radio show in Vegas.
That's tough. I mean, I don't know how you do it, Mr. Cofield, you know. But I will say, right, I mean, if you had to drive from one end of the strip to the other end of the strip, it could take you 2 days with all the traffic that's built up in Vegas, right?
It's gotten built up. I don't drive the strip. Most locals are never on the strip. I drive around the strip. I know the routes to go around the strip. Yeah. But I will say, good for you, man. That's one of the things about working in the Northeast Corridor. You guys are on the road a lot. I don't think I could do it again.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. All right, so let's get to the football team that you talk about probably a whole lot more than we talk about, and that is the 1-1 Pete Carroll-led Raiders. How disappointing was Monday night beyond just a loss? Was it more than just a loss, or was it just a loss?
I think it's just a loss. I think the Chargers are better than the Raiders, but here's the thing. The Chargers started kind of charging in the fourth quarter and let the Raiders stay in the game. So the Raiders could have pulled it together offensively. They could have gotten a win out of it. It would have been a good upset win. Just so you know, believe it or not, I don't believe this, but the Chargers at the sportsbooks are actually the small favorite over the Chiefs to win the division. Denver's still considered, you know, certainly in the mix, even though Bo Nix has been terrible the first two games. So that was a game they could have stolen, but they couldn't pull it together. And I just thought between Geno Smith being inaccurate, I didn't love the brooding on the sidelines. I think that's a bad look. And the other thing is they ran this weird 11-minute drive that spanned the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter when they were down 17-6. I think it was 20-6 at that point. It was like, pick up the pace, pick up
right.
the pace. So that's a game they could have won, Chris.
Why did Pete or Chip Kelly get questions about that at any point this week? I know with a compressed schedule, sometimes it's tough. Why so slow? Is that because everything had gone wrong and they just wanted to make sure that they executed, or any other reason that you could think of?
Mostly because Minter, the DC for Harbaugh and the Chargers, is playing everything on defense to kind of allow you to dink and dunk. And the Raiders were trying to go with some deep shots here and there. They just could not connect, which may suggest that they don't really have a deep threat. They're, you know, they're in love with Dante Thornton, who's a, you know, fourth round pick out of Tennessee, but I don't know if he's there yet as a legit deep threat. So they kind of took what was given to him. But the problem was in that drive, they also didn't run a whole lot. It was just dink and dunk with the pass. Ashton Jeanty, who didn't have a great game, you picked him top 10, use him. He got 11 carries. He got one carry on that drive. I just thought that drive was bizarre. And frankly, when they got the chance, when the Chargers started charging late, Geno Smith just couldn't hook up with people. His inaccuracy really killed him.
Steve Cofield is with us, host of Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas. He has worked nationally on many different networks, and we once worked together a long time ago, a turn of the century in Sin City, and boy, has he become the king of Vegas in the last 25 years. Nice enough to join us at Steve Cofield on X and Twitter. Does some work with UNLV as well. So let's... you mentioned Jeanty, and so far it's been less than, I guess, stellar, I guess you would say, through the first two games. Is it a lack of usage, as you mentioned there? Is it just a rookie being a rookie? Is it a bad offensive line? Is it stuffing eight in the box? How would you kind of meet that out?
I would say an offensive line that is struggling, and I think Jeanty is a little too gung-ho sometimes, so he's got to be a little more patient, but I'd lean heavily on the criticism of the offensive line. Like I said, he had 11 carries for 43 yards in this last game. This stat is amazing, but it's not surprising if you know the Raiders. Ashton Jeanty is only averaging 2.7 yards a carry. Ashton Jeanty is also averaging 2.8 yards after contact. That's bad. I mean, he's basically has no room. He's getting hit basically as soon as he gets a little bit of space.
Right away, yeah.
The O-line is a work in progress, and here's the thing I don't get. The offensive line, so John Gruden got here, you know, years back, and when he came in, the Raiders' offensive line was the top three highest-paid offensive line in football, and it was pretty good.
Yeah, I remember
and
that, yep.
From regime to regime, they have chosen to go with, hey, you know, we're going to have a good left tackle in Colton Miller, who was a first-round pick who Gruden took, and then everyone else on the line, we're going to piece it together. We're going to find guys. We're going to develop guys. We don't need to pay massive money to the offensive line. But that running back number... Josh Jacobs had a couple of good years, and then Josh Jacobs started to fall victim to that, you know, 3.2 yards of carry and getting knocked in the backfield, and they're going with, I don't want to be mean, but this kind of bargain basement, let's try to develop in-house offensive line, and it hasn't worked for now really a fourth straight regime. I don't want to say it's not going to work with this group, but when you look at the PFF numbers on the offensive line, Colt Miller's outstanding. He's got a grade in the 80s. The other guys, they're trying a new center in Jordan Meredith. They've had two guys go at right guard. They're not grading out well. Dylan Parham is a left guard. He's not playing well. And the right tackle, DJ Glaze, is not good. So four of the five positions are struggling, and that's why Ashton Jeanty, I guess he's kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. He's trying to get up to speed here, be patient, wait, but he's getting hit often, and then the line is just not delivering, and as a result, they can't run the ball, and they couldn't run the ball last year. And Pete Carroll wants to run the ball. That's why they took a running back with a top 10 pick.
So a great opportunity, obviously, for the Commanders' defensive line to kind of control things at the line of scrimmage like they did in week one against the Giants, like they did not do last Thursday night against the Green Bay Packers. That's a really interesting breakdown. Obviously, Bowers was banged up going into Monday night. Some of his production down because of that. Maybe that's Geno. Maybe that's the injury. Short week doesn't help. But when he's right, is he the best tight end already in the game in your eyes or –
Yeah, I think so. I think he's pretty much a lock for 100 yards, or check that, for 100 catches and, you know, whatever it's going to be, 1,150, 1,200 yards. He's one of the fastest guys, as reliable he is with his hands, and he's amazing. You're catching bad balls. You know, week one, he had a 38-yard reception where I forget what the number was on the miles per hour, but it was not tight end speed. It was freaking, you know, let's say mid-level wide receiver speed. He's awesome. He's awesome. And I do think that did affect their game plan in the game. On Monday night. So Bowers should be closer to, say, 90%. He'll probably be still wearing the brace on the left leg, but he's our number one weapon. Jacoby Myers is a very reliable guy underneath. He does not drop the ball. And what they're trying to develop now are those deep threats, those guys who can really push it down the field. We know the Raiders, going back to Al Davis, have wanted to do that. Do they have those bodies yet? Not exactly.
On the other side of the ball, you and I talked this morning, and we were talking about Max Crosby and how they might use him and I guess some of the Raiders fans are, you know, upset that maybe they're using him in different ways. This week, they've got a really, really advantageous matchup against a rookie in Josh Connerly who struggled big time in the first 2 weeks. Would you expect more of Max in place at left defensive end, or would you still expect them to move him around and try and pick their spots and try and attack from different launch points?
I don't know exactly. I would expect them to stick with what they've been going with, but you make a point. Yeah, one of the posts I was referencing was someone was just putting up the sack numbers, and it was, you know, Max Crosby, one sack and 128 defensive snaps. Miles Garrett, 83 defensive snaps, 3.5 sacks. Trey Hendrickson, 108 snaps, 2 sacks. I don't care about sacks. I mean, I know that's where they make their money. That's the glamour stat. But, you know, pressures. And then what he's doing to freaking blow up the play on the other side, I thought he really disrupted what the Chargers wanted to do. The Chargers got one real good deep shot, a 60-yarder, which was a crippler, a 60-yarder to Quentin Johnston. But beyond that, they had to do a lot of dink and dunk. And, yeah, they got their yardage, but I thought the defensive backfield did a pretty good job. But I thought a lot of it was Max Crosby blowing things up. I mean, he blew up the run game. The Harbaugh-led Chargers want to run the ball. They couldn't run the ball. He was all over the field. So I think he's going to be used as a more versatile guy, not as a straight edge rusher. And I think that's where he's best. And, you know, if you can do it and you're paying a guy, you know, upwards of $40 million, then use him where he affects the entire defense and not just pass pressure.
Yeah. Steve Cofield with us, Cofield and Company, ESPN Las Vegas, also UNLV football. Jeremy Chinn was here last year, and I saw him make a nice play defensively in the red zone on third down, knocking away a pass early on Monday night. How has he fit in, and what does he do for this defense? Is he essentially – like here he became a hit stick, but he was limited somewhat in terms of – pass defense, and I think that's why they were willing to let him go. How has the fit been from what you can observe so far for Chinn?
I think the fit's been really good, and I mean, really, they brought him in, one, as a veteran that they could trust in, but two, as a more economical purchase, because they had some safeties last year who were due for their paydays, and they just decided to let him walk. I think the safety situation with the Raiders is fine. Their cornerback Sitch is, that's where the question is, and the one cornerback position they're really trying to, you know, they drafted a guy in Darian Porter out of Iowa State who didn't have a lot of experience, but he fits the Carroll mode. Like, you could see immediately, Chris, Pete Carroll likes a certain kind of defense. He wants to go back to the Legion of Boom in terms of the body types. So his cornerbacks are going to be more in that 6'1 to 6'3 range, and Porter's gigantic. They've got a local kid, Caillou Blue Kelly, who's playing out at cornerback, and game one, they weren't great. I thought they were a lot better in this game. You know, obviously there was a safety issue with Polamau on the pass to Quentin Johnston that, you know, turned into a 60-yarder. So I think Chinn's been solid. I don't think spectacular so far. You know, I think in run help, he's been good. You know, really, right now the Raiders are playing pretty good on defense, and because the offense is not clicking, we'll see what happens with Mariota versus Jaden Daniels playing out there. I think this is going to be a grinder. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, and I think the Raiders' defense can keep them in the game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's going to be, you know, maybe a 17-14-ish type game, because I think both offenses, I agree, are going to struggle. One last one for you on the Raiders, and then one on UNLV, and that is on the Raiders. Spytek obviously brought in Tom Brady. Yeah, I mean, that whole big controversy. I'm sure you've talked about that. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but whatever. But Spytek brought in. He was like close with Brady. Pete Carroll, a name that a lot of people didn't see connected to the Raiders. How much is the energy different from last year's reincarnation, where you had, you know, Antonio Pierce and Tom Telesco, and that was a disaster, so much so that they fired both guys after 1 year?
Yeah, it's a more professional organization now. The children, the immaturity is gone. Not to say that Antonio Pierce was a child, but he wasn't ready for the position. Frankly, Josh McDaniels is kind of a jackass. He's not a head coach. It just wasn't a good environment. Then there was also leaks all over the place. Media's finding out about this and that. So they bottled that up. You know, and Spytek coming from the Tampa system, I mean, they draft. I mean, they develop. That's a good organization. So I think Spytek had a pretty good first draft. I mean, obviously, they're going to have to hit on this offensive line stuff, or they're going to have to start spending on it. But, yeah, Pete Carroll coming in. Things are loose, but they're professional. So I think, and honestly, the cachet of Brady, I think, has changed things. And the, you know what, one of the biggest things is they got some new investors. So Mark Davis is, you know, he's still the majority owner, but they got more money. It's a more confident franchise in terms of spending money, spending on players. So things are in good shape. And I don't think the NFL is going to do anything about Brady. Probably say, you know, the optics look bad with you up in the booth. I don't think they can ban him from the booth. The problem is, I'll go back to it again. There was a leak. Someone told Schrager that, you know, they were meeting, Chip Kelly and Tom Brady were meeting a couple of times a week, and that's not something, if they're doing it, you don't want that out there. So whoever leaked that, I'm sure, is not in real good standing right now with the organization.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that, just for my own two cents. I mean, listen, I know everybody loves to hate Tom Brady. I get how it's a conflict of interest, but, you know, I talked to a bunch of people around the league over the last couple of days. They were incredulous. They thought this was the biggest bunch of hooey in the world. Like, you know, if you're smart, and if you're not, that's on you. If you're smart, you ain't telling Tom Brady anything, any trade secrets that he can use as an advantage for the Raiders when you know they're coming up on the schedule. I mean, and game plans are so game-specific anyway. I don't know. I could be wrong. Last one, UNLV. You work with them, obviously, as part of their radio broadcast. Dan Mullen out of the TV booth. And so far, pretty good start. Is UNLV football like a thing, or is it just something that's nice and we'll see what happens?
It's getting there. They're building momentum. They won 9 and 11 games the last couple of years. They almost made the college football playoff last year. Boise got them in the Mountain West Conference title game. So, the you know, this is a good thing and a bad thing. They're playing in an NFL stadium, so it's great for recruiting. The, you know, again, the optics are really good. It holds 60,000. So if they can get 35 or 40,000 in there, that's a nice crowd. That's about what they got for UCLA. So things are building, and the biggest positive is they got people fired up, the money people, the casino people, the old money here. They got people fired up. Dan Mullen did. So there's a lot more money coming into the program. And what they can hope for is every year to be a top five, you know, group of six team, as long as the system stays around, and maybe they get that one bid to the college football playoff.
Mr. Cofield, I appreciate you as always. Great to catch up with you both earlier today and today. Great insight, great stuff. Be looking forward to the next time we can chat. Good luck to your Raiders on Sunday, okay?
No, they're not my Raiders. You know, they're my Jets. Wish me a lot of luck.
Good luck to
buddy.
To them too. Good luck to them too. I appreciate you as always, my friend. Thank you.
See ya.
That is Steve Cofield, host of Cofield & Company, ESPN, Las Vegas. Back in a flash, more of your calls, and then the most scintillating, the most revolutionary, the most just everything. Never been done before segment in sports talk radio history. Our dueling super six packs coming up just after 3:30 on the Team 980.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got to go quick right here on the Team 980. We got five calls. Somehow we're going to try and get as many in as we can. Let's go to Kevin in Virginia on line four. What's up, Kevin? How are you?
Comment about the stadium and a suggested name.
Yes, sir.
What is the most powerful economic region in the DMV, in your opinion?
Most powerful in terms
Northern
of
Northern Virginia, the district, or Maryland? Which would you choose?
I mean, I would say the most powerful financially would be Northern Virginia. The most powerful politically would be Washington, D.C.
So you're right, Northern Virginia. So why would they put a stadium where people from Northern Virginia would have a hard time to get to? I mean, you have to either go through the district or go around the Beltway or up 295, which is awful, to get there.
Because and I think they would argue that it's better than getting to Landover if you're in Northern Virginia. And it's their quote-unquote spiritual home.
I thought it should have been at National Harbor. There's some property on Oxen Cove overlooking the river. It would have been a perfect location.
Yeah, they were interested in that, but politics, I think, got involved in that with Hogan, I think, a couple of years ago. I'm not sure why that wasn't, you know, a more legitimate option under the current governor, but I don't know enough about that situation.
My suggested name is Red Hawks. You haven't liked it in the past, but
it's okay.
In Native American lore, a red hawk is a sacred bird, and they can't kill it, but they can cut a feather, and they used to cut the feather to wear it on their headdresses. You could bring back the logo with the feather, and it would honor Native Americans, and it would be close as you can get to Redskins.
Yeah. Here's the problem, and I appreciate the phone call, Kevin. Here's the problem. Anything that is remotely Native American in nature or whatever, I think they are running an enormous risk on. Let's go to John in Falls Church next up. John, how are you, sir?
Good, Chris. How are you?
Hey, John. What's going on?
Hey, I'll make this as short as I can, and I don't want to step on a third rail here. But can you imagine the outrage if at some point one of the two previous non-Trump presidents had said, sure, we'll give you the stadium if you take away the name Redskins, and then we'll give you, you know, $1 billion and the right to build this land. And then furthermore, why I bring that up is that the people who call and suggest that, like, Trump is going to just, like, press some magic button, which he probably will try to, unfortunately. There's just as many, you know, there's more people. There's probably 2-to-1 people who don't think like that around here. So when they say, well, Trump's just going to bully his way into making them change the name back, there are 2/3 the people around here are going to be more turned off than the 1/3 of the people that are excited, just politically speaking, of that happening. And I don't want to get into politics.
Yeah.
But it's not just the name at this point. It's the government overreach would turn off a lot of people from just being a fan of the team at that point.
Gotcha. Thanks, John. Appreciate you. It's an interesting point. Let's get to Paulie. Let's get him up board here. What's up, Paulie?
Rufio, what's good, my guy?
Paulie, what's shaking?
Hell to the W, man. Hey, look, I'm going to say this. I really don't care no more. I mean, you know, we done moved. Listen, I love the Redskins, right? And I used to say, like my man Ted, I used to say hell to the Redskins. And I switch it up to hell to the W. But even though I say hell to the W, in my mind and my heart, is still the Redskins, you know? So no matter what they call the team, man, you know, it to me is always gonna be the Redskins, and I'm gonna be a fan of Washington football. You know, look, you threw that analogy out there earlier, which wasn't really good, but I'm gonna throw one, man. It's just of a recent thing, a recent brand name change. You know, who calls Twitter the X? Most people still call it Twitter.
That's true. Yeah. That's
right?
True.
Or if they don't call it Twitter, they still think of it as Twitter.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan of the team,
you can call them Skins. You can call them Redskins. Nobody gets mad.
Or even if you're a fan around the league of another team, when you think of the Commanders, even though you say Commanders, in your mind, you envision the Redskins. You're thinking of the Redskins. So, I mean, I'm not going to – it's not the end-all, be-all for me, man. You know, as long as they still lining up to play in the DMV area and now going to be back at RFK, I'm good, man. Like I said, you'll never be able to take the Redskins fandom away from me. I'm always going to be a Redskins fan. You know what I mean? But I'm always going to be a Washington, you know, football sports fan too. So whatever the name is, I'm going to support it. So I think a lot of it is just, you know, people don't like change. That's all it is to it, in my opinion.
All right. Thank you, Paulie.
Chris Russell.
Appreciate you. Have a good weekend, brother. Let's go to Jonesy. Next up here, Jonesy, what's up?
What's going on, Rooster?
How are you, Jonesy?
What's up, man?
What's shaking?
On the back end of what Paulie was saying, the shout out to Paulie, I'm going to say this. I've been a Redskins fan pretty much all my life, you know, since coming out of 1974. With that being said, that the name's changed. I'm glad the stadium's coming back. But as far as it goes with Josh Harris and all this, he only can fight one battle at a time. That's the way I look at this. I always say, you know, never say never, because they said the same thing about Dan Snyder selling the team years ago on the same station before you got here, like 2008, 2009. Look, team's been sold. They said never.
Yeah.
Dan Snyder would never sell the team. We saw the team being sold not even, what, 20 years later?
Yeah.
Okay. So I look at the same way with this name change thing. And I don't like Commanders. I always say burgundy and gold.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just to pretty much just meet the happy medium. And everybody knows what we're talking about. And people like around here still say skins. You know? And other places I went to, the same thing. With that being said there, I don't care whether the name comes back or not. Like Paulie said, in the back of my mind, it always be Redskins, and that's what I'll be referring to, even when I say burgundy and gold, because that's what they wore in years past when they won those three championships. Because Redskins always do mean something. Mm-hmm. They won three championships under that name. Commanders has not won anything. Although, what, went to a championship game and we lost to the Philadelphia Eagles? Okay, still burgundy and gold for me. I'll have an axe to grind, and you all right, Rooster. I like you bringing this subject up. You always stir up the pot and stir the room. A little less than what Linnell do, because he's brutal with his. But, as he would say, don't argue me. Argue with the one you love.
Yeah.
It's just not me.
Linnell's going to be breaking down hand technique for the next 3 hours. I'm going to be talking about stuff that I think people care about and have a burning passion for. So, but I hear you. Thanks, Jonesy. Appreciate you. Have a good weekend. This is the last show, by the way, of the week for me. Doc will be here tomorrow, so you can rap all you want for 3 hours about the rest of the game and RFK and everything in between. AMAC will be here next tomorrow as well, and
yep.
You know, starting 5 days a week now.
Yeah.
We are one. We are a tag team duo.
Well, not this week, because you decide to leave. Yeah. I think that's why you took off, honestly.
Yeah.
You're like, AMAC's 5 days? All right, let me get my last Friday in.
I need to get away.
Yeah.
I need to get away.
Prep myself.
All right. Final trending alert right here, right now. And then, our dueling Super Six Packs. We'll try and get back to the calls. Can't promise you guys. Just too much to do and let everybody have a chance and a crack at the mic. All right. Here on the Team 980. Stay with us. All right. Tonight, NFL week number 3 kicks off. It is the Miami Dolphins at 0-2. And the Buffalo Bills at 2-0. Orchard Park, Highmark Stadium, the last time that they will squish the fish, or try to anyway, in that particular stadium as a new one is on the way. 8:15 kickoff. You can hear it. 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app via Westwood One. Nats, thankfully, with a day off after a 4-game sweep at the hands of the Braves, who came in 17 games under 500 and whooped the Nationals around pretty good for 4 straight days. The Mets are the next opponent tomorrow night at Citi Field. They lead San Diego 6-1, top of the 8th. Cleveland up 3-1 over Detroit in the 9th. Athletics over Boston 5-2 in the 7th. Tampa Bay blanking Toronto 4-0 in the 8th. Seattle with a 1-0 lead over Kansas City in the 7th. And that's what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, because it is my final show of the week. Yeah, that's right. I'm out tomorrow. Back on Monday. I'm going to do and give you what you've all been waiting for. Again, the most revolutionary, scintillating, first of its kind, only of its kind, dueling Super Six Pack in one segment. Six teams ranked 1 through 6 in the National Football League. That's right. We don't count you down. We count you up. We give you the good stuff first, unlike Linnell. And then, or before then, I should say, 6 NFL games against the spread, including every week the Commanders game. So last week we lost. Actually, we're 0-2 so far on the Commanders. And actually, if we're being honest, we're 5-7 to start the year. 12 games, 2 weeks, 5-7. 3-3 week 1, 2-4 last week. I hit on the Rams -5.5 at Tennessee and the Eagles -1 at Kansas City. Lost Cleveland +11.5, Cowboys -5, Steelers -3, and the Commanders +3.5. So away we go. Game number 1, the Atlanta Falcons go to Carolina off of a big win last Sunday night against the offensively challenged, to say the least, Minnesota Vikings. But that Atlanta defense looks like it's for real. James Pierce was awesome. They've got some pass rush. They've got some young bucks on the back end. Now, one of their best corners, A.J. Terrell, is questionable for this game. I haven't seen an official ruling, but I'm going to say Atlanta, with Michael Penix at the helm, even though they're on the road in Charlotte, it's not an intimidating environment. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons -5.5. The Panthers are getting better, but they're not there yet. Give me the Falcons -5.5. All right, game number 2. The Los Angeles Rams. Yeah, Sean McVay and his torn plantar fasciitis. That's not going to affect him coaching this game. They have to go all the way back out to Philadelphia. That's a lot of travel back and forth from Nashville back home and whatnot on a regular length week, but still a lot of traveling. But the Rams are looking to avenge the NFC divisional playoff loss, in which they could have won that game in the snow in Philly. Philadelphia coming off a huge win, but a somewhat pedestrian win against the Kansas City Chiefs, at least from an offensive perspective. I like the Rams' defense to control Jalen Hurts and that offensive line and to make life hell from a passing perspective for Jalen Hurts and maybe even to make life tougher for Saquon Barkley. I like the Rams +3 at Philadelphia in this game. And essentially, I kind of like them straight up. That's the game of the week, arguably. I'll take the Rams +3. The Seahawks are back at home against the New Orleans Saints, who suck. The Seahawks off a big road win last week in Pittsburgh. Sure, they got special teams help, no doubt about it. I'm going to go the Seahawks back home in that Hornets nest -7.5, 7 and a hook against the Saints for game 3. Game four, Monday Night Football. Yeah, the Lions tore apart the Bears, especially in the second half last week. I got it. The Bears were without their best corner. The Bears are, I don't know, shaky, I guess to say the least, on offense. The Ravens, I know they lost week one in Buffalo and they blew a big lead. I got it. Last week they reasserted their dominance, got the oil running through the engine, and really didn't even have a big day from some of their bigger named guys like Derrick Henry. I think Derrick Henry goes off. I think the Ravens on Monday Night Football at home take care of the Lions and win straight up, but cover the 4.5. Give me the Ravens -4.5 over the Detroit Lions. Sunday afternoon, the Dallas Cowboys and the Chicago Bears on the banks of Lake Michigan at Soldier Field. I know Dallas, with the overtime win, might be a little tired, but when they get to lick their chops against little Benny and the Bears, little Caleb and the Bears, give me the Cowboys -1 over Chicago, whose offensive line stinks, whose quarterback is eh, who's got some weapons, Roman Dunze, like him. Their defense, no Jalen Johnson, and they were struggling before that. Yeesh. Give me Dallas -1 over Chicago. Dak playing real good at this point. And game number six. We told you every week we pick the Commanders game, whether we like the game or not. It's just what we do to distinguish ourselves, to differentiate ourselves. This is part one of the Dueling Super Six Pack, the most revolutionary segment in sports talk radio. Never been done before. Give me the Las Vegas Raiders +3.5 on a short week screwed by the NFL. Give me the Raiders and Max Crosby against presumably Marcus Mariota and the Washington Commanders. Now, that's from a betting perspective, +3.5. I think Washington wins by a field goal. Give me 17-14 on the final. Ah, straddling that fence. Yeah, baby! Atlanta -5.5 on the road in Carolina. The Rams +3 on the road in Philadelphia. Seahawks -7.5 over the Saints at home. Ravens Monday night -4.5 at home against the Lions. Dallas on the road -1 in Chicago. Vegas +3.5 over Washington on the road. Give me the Washington Commanders to win a 17-14 game. My top six teams in the NFL entering week three, going from 1 through 6. Again, just to screw with Linnell and his Super Six Pack, which he stole from me. The Green Bay Packers at +1. +1. The Philadelphia Eagles, +2. +3, the Buffalo Bills, who play tonight. +4, the LA Rams, who we just mentioned. I got them +3 over the Eagles. We'll see if this changes around. Number five, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, baby. And #6, the Bolts. Give me the LA Chargers. The Colts and the 49ers, both at 2-0, just barely missing. Last week, going into the week, we had Green Bay #1. Buffalo #2, they really shouldn't drop because they killed the Jets. But Philadelphia's win in Kansas City, arguably very tougher. So I put Philadelphia up one spot, switched them around. Buffalo, Philadelphia last week. Philadelphia, Buffalo this week. I had Tampa at #4, Minnesota at #5, and the Chargers at #6. So the Chargers stay at #6. Minnesota drops out. I put the Rams in there and again switched Buffalo and Philadelphia and unfortunately had to drop the Bucks back a spot because I did. That's what I decided to do. And I'm the boss and I get to do whatever I want to do. How about them apples? How do you like them apples? Yeah, I'm the boss. Yeah, baby. On the Team 980, the Odyssey app. Can we squeeze in Ian and Largo real quick? Yeah, why don't we do that? And then we'll get to Dumb Dumb of the Day on the other side. Ian, thanks for hanging in there. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good day, Ian.
Good Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been listening to you the whole time, all morning long. I've been up since 7 o'clock.
Well, I appreciate
that. I'm always on the line. How are you? How was your day?
It's great. It's great, man. What did you want to talk about?
Well, we were going to talk about the stadium.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's going to create chaos because that little section and that little section is tense. And going around that ring is tense. But
what's tense? I'm confused.
Traffic.
Oh, well, yeah, traffic is going to be bad at any stadium, though.
And that's one of my favorite places to go. I go there for breakfast every morning and go to the bagel spot. And then my daughter go to school right there at Applegate, right there next to the soccer field. And so right. I know all about that.
Yeah, but you're not going to have to deal with that on game day.
Well, maybe not a Sunday, but I stay next to Northwest Stadium. I stay at Landover.
Okay.
And so I know exactly how everybody get off the train and they walk all the way down to the stadium. But tearing down RFK, I think the whole city wants it. Everybody wants it. It's going to be a game changer. And I can't imagine what they're going to do down there. And then Audi Field and the National Stadium. It's going to be incredible. For what they're doing for the city. It's going to be incredible.
I look forward to it, man. I hope we all make it there. It's going to be expensive. That's what it's going to be. And it's also going to be incredible. And I agree with that. Ian, thanks. I got to let you run. I'm up against the clock, but got to go. Thanks for listening and weighing in and getting in. Glad we were able to hook up. Yeah. Listen, the stadium is going to be really expensive to go to, no matter which way they sell it, no matter which way they cut it. You know, people are going to have to choose. And there's going to be PSLs. That's just the reality. That's life in 2025 and will be life in 2030. I mean, hopefully they get the return on the investment that they are planning and thinking and hoping. And certainly if the product is good, they will get it. If the product is bad, it will be spotty, just like it is in many other places. It's just all there is to it. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, we wrap up the week next with Dumb Dumb of the Day. And this one is in a city that I'm going to tomorrow. On the Team 980, stay with us. Night Burgundy and Gold today. Linnell Willingham coming up next in just a couple of minutes. But first, we take you to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A crazed driver in the middle of the night rams his car into a security steel iron gate at the FBI's Pittsburgh office and then walked away like nothing happened. Now, the agency is calling it an act of terror. Donald Henson, a military veteran with a history of mental health problems, was arrested after an hours-long manhunt following the 2:40 a.m. attack. His white Toyota was covered, the one that he crashed into the gate, was covered in profane messages when it was plowed into the back gate of the building in the Steel City. He got out of the car, yelling, cursing, and hurling an American flag that he reached around and got from the passenger side, according to a security officer, and threw over the fence while shouting incoherently. Now, I certainly take mental health, the fact that he served our country very seriously, I understand that. The reason why we are choosing this story is because we have got to, and I repeat, got to, step it up as a country. Regardless of your political affiliation, we have got to make sure that we are doing more to help out the system and to make the system easier for people with mental health issues especially those that helped serve our country. He was a military veteran. This is not sustainable. This is not good. We have to stop worrying about stupid things. I'll just leave it at that. And worry about things that actually matter. The whole system is stupid. The whole system is dumb. The whole system, in so many ways, ways that I can't even get into, is failing American citizens and police officers and FBI and civilians and innocent bystanders. The whole system. Fix it and fix it now instead of worrying about Jimmy Kimmel. Sorry. Yeah, I said it. All right, Linnell is next. Burgundy and gold today. Thanks to AMAC. Thanks to Steve Cofield. Thanks to all of you who called. I'm off tomorrow. See you back here on Monday. I'll see you at Northwest Stadium on Sunday afternoon. Check out my my updates throughout the afternoon on Infinity Sports Radio on the Odyssey app. Have a great Thursday, everybody. Adios.
Thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Russo. Goodbye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.